to activate the waiting room going forward. So we're just waiting for one or two more members to join us. But I think if you want to, you are able to start, Chairperson. Thank you.
And morning to everybody that is in the meeting, morning to the members, to the department, led by the Minister and the Chairman, the DG. Can we request you to do a roll call?
Thank you, Chairperson. Present in the meeting, members of the committee, to South Honourable Mbinga Gigaba. I have Honourable Aduin, Honourable Siwela, Honourable Yabo, Honourable Letsie, I have Honourable Mashabela. I've got two apologies. One for Honourable Dr. Tembe Kwayo, she's in the Health Committee currently, and also for Honourable Sibisi. I've received an apology. Well, I know they're with us, but the Director General is in the Eastern Cape on monitoring and oversight duty, so we might be experiencing some network or connectivity challenges, but he has indicated that he will be with us. Thank you, Jefferson.
No, thank you very much. Can you flag them? Today we are doing the budget review 2022-2023 of Vote 16 Basic Education. They are going to present to us their budget, including the sector plan, the strategy plan, and the annual performance plan. So we have dealt with the apologies. Then after the presentation, we are going to have deliberation and processing, and then we are going to consider and adopt the minutes of the previous meeting. Can I allow members to adopt the agenda? I see the hand of Honorable Advance.
Good morning.
Recording in progress.
Good morning to the Minister, the Deputy Minister, the Director General of the Department, members of the Portfolio Committee, and all officials, and everyone in the meeting. I move to adopt the agenda as it is, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Lithia?
Yes. Good morning, Honorable Chairman, members, the Minister, Deputy Minister, the team from the department. My name is Minister Bukhonitsi, and I second the adoption as Minister.
No, thank you very much to both Honorable Advance and Honorable Elitzie. I am going to allow the Minister to lead us in political overview.
Get my camera on, Chair. I don't know why it's refusing. Chair, my... Oh, it has gone on. Oh. Chair, I'm sorry. I'm having problems with my gadget. Can I speak without the camera being switched on? Because it just won't go on. We are late.
It's okay, man.
Yeah. So, Chair, let me again take this opportunity to thank yourselves and the committee for inviting us and allowing us to share information with you on the matter of the budget, so, and our plans. And without really taking much time, I think we'll respond at the end of the presentation with the Deputy Minister. So what I would really wish at this stage it to thank you most sincerely. It's been a very busy year, trying to make up for lost time and opportunities in the previous year, but still being and trying very hard to move forward the way we had planned, if not even doing better than we had planned. So we're ready to present to you what our plans are, and we'll await your guidance, your counsel and support, Chair. So let me not take much of your time. We'll respond at the end of the presentation when there are issues of clarity that are required on our part. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Minister. Can you lead the administration presentation?
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister, Honorable Deputy Minister, colleagues from DBE and the Portfolio Committee. Chair's correctly pointed out by the Minister, we are indeed presenting an annual performance plan for 2022 within the of a 5-year strategic plan, stretching from 2021-22 to 2024-2025, the 5-year strategic plan. In this presentation, we have two parts. The first part will focus on the performance information. The second part will provide the budget. I must indicate that in terms of the performance information, we provide the background, the context within which delivery is going to happen. We're also giving a progress report in terms of where we have been able to make some significant improvements. We're also providing information where we've effected changes, be it outcomes and outputs, which are very important to the APP. And then the budget might reflect some growth, although insignificant growth, but essentially linked to the CPIX. But as members would know, that that will not necessarily take into account things like budget cuts, which would happen. I'm going to Mrs. Nozipo. Ms. Nozipo Bonambi to do the first part, and the second part will be done by the CFO. Thank you very much, Chair, for the privilege. If you allow me, then I'm going to request Mrs. Nozipo to just go ahead and proceed with the first part of the presentation, and then Mr. Kuno must follow immediately without any intervention. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Chair, Honorable Member, Minister, Deputy Minister, EG, and the Senior Management of the DBE. I'll be taking you through the annual performance plan, the performance cost, and the outline for it, proposed by the chief, the background, cover of the priority, government, including the media center, the internet, the potential plan, the
I'm not sure whether it's only me. There's echo on with your voice.
My advice would be that she gets close to the mic. Maybe she'll sound better. I'm sorry, I heard the same.
Yeah, can you try that?
Let me try it again.
No, we were not
In terms of the presentation outline, I'll be taking you through the topo, site shape of the sector, the background, which includes the government's priorities, and the medium-term strategic plan, the action plan, the sector priorities.
We've lost here all together now. Can you hear me?
Chair, I can hear you clearly, Chairperson. We are just
like... Chair, I know you are very clear.
Yeah.
And you can't hear all of you now, eh?
We hear you.
The presenter is the one who's not audible, but we all hear you. But Gigi, is she the only one that can present? Can someone else proceed in the meantime?
Thank you.
Annual Performance Plan 2022-23 for the Department of Basic Education. And in terms of the size and shape, it's giving us the numbers and percentages in terms of the learners in the system. That's a total of 13.4 million educators, 447,123, and schools 28,894. Also at the bottom, the pie chart giving us percentages, which is now it's expressing the same numbers in the percentages. And in the next slide, we're looking at the background in terms of the presentation, which outlines the approach to government-wide priorities, which are also touched on the presentation outline. The strategic plan 2020-21 to 2024-25, which is anchored in the government long-term plan, the national development plan 2030, which is our future, make it work, as well as the MCSF. So the APP sets out what the department intends executing in the financial year and during the medium term framework, which is the MTEF period, and to implement its strategic plan. In fulfilling its legal obligation, the department must produce a table, the APP annually to Parliament, as we have tabled last week. So the threat plan also covers a period of 5 years and can be amended during the 5 year period. And this APP 2022-23 represents the third year activities towards achieving the objectives as contained in the departmental strike plan. Also, as part of the background, we're looking at the learning losses. This is just to summarize based on the research that has been done since 2020 when the COVID pandemic started. And this has disrupted education systems, not only in South Africa, but globally, and also affecting the most vulnerable learners. And this has increased inequalities and also aggravated the pre-existing education crisis. In terms of the enrollment in the first quarter of 2021, it was around 50,000, which is 0.4% lower than expected. And the problem was more concentrated in the lower grades. And also 64% of contact time was lost in 2020 due to closures and the rotations. Second half of 2021, 22% of contact time was lost also due to rotations and regular absenteeism. In historically disadvantaged schools, around 70% of a year's worth of learning was lost. This was in 2020. And for every day of schooling lost, around 1.3 days, that's in terms of the current. In the next slide, it outlines the seven key government priorities. And we know that we are leading or responsible for priority three, but we're making also a huge contribution in terms of priority two, priority four, and priority six. In fact, we also contribute in quite a number of priorities. For instance, priority seven, a better Africa and world. We can't get there without basic education. And the next slides are taking us through the medium-term strategic framework, which I've touched on a number of times in the previous slide. There are five medium-term strategic framework outcomes that the department is reporting on, department to Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, as well as to the cabinet the minister presents biannually. So I won't go also outcome by outcome. And move on to the action plan, because our APP has been developed also taking all these plans and the key government priorities into consideration.
So the action plan to 2024 has been reviewed and strengthened. The plan still has the 27 national goals as the original action plan. 13 of these four goals are output goals dealing with the better school results and better enrollment in schools, and the 14 goals deal with what must happen for the output goals to be realized. The next slide, the diagram is still also reflecting on the action plan, with the emphasis also on the emerging priorities during the pandemic, which is at the bottom of the wheel, the early childhood development, the infrastructure, and also learning losses, which I've already touched on in the previous slide. Council of Education Ministers, the CM priorities, these are the sector priorities which were approved by the CEM, Council of Education Ministers, dealing with foundational skills, which is underpinned by Reading Revolution, the implementation of curriculum, the quality and efficiency through standardized assessments, and four, urgent implementation of 2 years of ECD before grade one and migration of 0 to 4 year olds. And we all looking forward to the 5th of April for this to realize. And also the integrated infrastructure development plan. And lastly, social cohesion, health, and school safety. So these are the sector priorities which are also linked the action plan and medium-term strategic framework. And we know that the president pronounces the SONA in February of every year, and these set key government priorities and deliverables for the year, and in turn determine the priorities for the GBE and the sector broadly. And pronouncements are a way of committing the GBP, committing to the public and also to key activities and outcomes. In terms of SONA 2021, we know that we are in 22 already, but the pronouncements for 2021 are still key in terms of learning disruptions and issues affecting learners, as the system is still addressing the issue of learning disruptions. And also early childhood development is very key, are already covered also under the CEM priorities that we are looking forward to a fast shift come 5th of April. So now 2022 speaks to school infrastructure, this is the next slide, government introducing innovative social infrastructure delivery mechanisms to address the affect the delivery of school infrastructure. Then it also talks to very important aspects of creating employment for youth in the form of education assistance. Over 500,000 young people appointed as the education assistant, making it the largest youth employment program ever undertaken in our history. Then the learning losses, as we return to normal educational activity, we will work harder to ensure that all learners and students get quality education they need and deserve. I've touched on the learning losses, and there's a number of interventions that the sector is implementing in terms of the learning losses. And DG also in his overview spoke about a progress on selected deliverables. I will start with the ACD, and this is the cumulative ACD summary since inception until 28 February 2022. The sub-programs, I'll present on the sub-programs the very first column, the third column, which talks to what was original targets, and the last column, which is progress at end of February. In terms of the inappropriate structures, that is the schools, initial targets, 328 and 290 schools have been completed, that is the last column in terms of progress. Water supply, 1,271 schools allocated, and 1,177 have reached practical completion. Sanitation, 1,028 schools supplied, 995 have reached practical completion. For electricity, 373, and all have reached practical completion. Fencing, also 4, and all have reached practical completion. And next slide, talking to national senior certificates. I won't dwell much because there was a dedicated presentation also on the NSC, but just as a reminder, from 2016 to 2021, we look at the increase there. We moved from 70.7% to 76.4% in 2021. And also, just to note, a significant increase in the number of full-time enrollments from 610,484 in 2020 to 733,917 in 2021. And that has also increased the number of candidates who wrote the NSC. Bachelor passes, in terms of the numbers, we can see by province how many bachelor passes, with KwaZulu-Natal having the most, 61,856, and Northern Cape, 3,856. But these bachelors are also talking to the number of schools which we have in this provincial education department. We can move to the next slide on special needs education learners who passed NSC in 2021. The department commits not to leave anyone behind, and also taking the persons or learners with disabilities also along. A total of 1,937 learners with special education needs achieved their NSC qualification, and the breakdown is provided below on the left column. It's the qualification type, and on the right is the total. So the bachelor's were 879, diploma 636, higher certificate 314, those who achieved endorsed 108, which gives us a total of 1,137 learners special needs education. And that takes us to the next slide on workbook delivery, provision and delivery. As at 1st of March 2022, that's like 2 weeks ago, the department had delivered 100% workbooks to all schools. Place order, excuse me. The Funza Lushaga placement rate, we also looking at the provincial placements, and the national is sitting at 76% in terms of the placement of Funza Lushaga graduates. Next slide, allocated posts filled per province. I will look at those percentages. Our all filled in quarter 3 2021, which was the last for the financial year, it's 75%. But we can see an increase because the same quarter 3 of 2020 in the last column was sitting at 60%. So there's quite an increase in 2021-22, that quarter. And the next slide, still talking to the post field, but by interval, we can see there's less than 50%, 50 to 74%, 75 to 99%, and 100%. So at 100%, it's 75% nationwide. Next two slides are talking to the National School Nutrition Program. At end of December 2021, the first slide is talking to schools, number of schools provided with the nutritious meals, and the total is 19,553 schools. And the second slide, or the next slide rather, is still NSNP, but talking to the number of learners in school. The total, I'll just go to the grand total, it's 8,916,552 learners that have been provided with nutritious meals through the NSNP program. In terms of the progress for ECD function shift, we're looking at service delivery, three modalities, being the playgroup, the center-based program, home-based program, and we will see that in the next diagram. Also looking at the institutional arrangements and the function shift. I've already covered that it's happening on the 1st of April through the proclamation signed by the president on 27 June 2021. In terms of the Minister of Finance has also tabled function shift in the medium term budget policy statement. In terms of planning, data and information, this is to 1.5 million children. Then the early learning, early years index and baseline assessment of early learning programs. The data has been completed and the registration system is under development and adapted for use. So this diagram is talking to the three modalities that I've already covered in the previous slide. In terms of the next slide, coordination and change management, what is critical there is the Education Management Information Systems, the EMIS, the HR Human Resources, the funding, expenditure review and funding, institutional arrangements, and business process. I want to go through those bullets. And that takes us to the annual plans towards long-term outcomes. In terms of the approach to the outcomes in the strategic plan and the ATP, the outcomes have been developed such that they are broad and they consolidate the work which is contributed by the sector to encourage joint planning rather than working in silos by different programs or individual programs. And this also, our outcomes reflect the aspirations at an organizational level, including the support that is provided to the provincial education departments. This approach in terms of the outcomes assists with clustering the delivery areas rather than having individual delivery areas, and also this enables new and emerging interventions to impact the education system meaningfully. Delivery areas and outputs bridge that gap between the medium to long-term outcomes, as well as the short-term annual outputs and indicators. Process and approach to planning also have applied the use of the theory of change to map the changes and impact, as well as to identify the critical success factors and deliverables. So the DBE strategic outcomes have been slightly amended, and DG also has touched on that. They have been strengthened, and the amendments are reflected on Annex A of the table ATP. So in terms of the revisions of the outcomes, as indicated, it was a slight amendment and also strengthening. We can see it between the original outcomes and the revised outcomes. So the essence of the which outcome, which DBE outcomes link to it, and which DBE outputs also are linked to it. So the outcomes are found in the strat plan and also under the programs in the APP, as well as the outputs and the output indicators. So this shows a clear link how our APP is responding to the medium-term strategic framework. Also, will not go also line by line. There's two of these slides. There's three of them, but they cover all the outcomes, five outcomes, NPSF, six DBE outcomes, and the outputs that are linked to 70 output indicators in our APP. So that takes us to the process, the APP process. I will also try to summarize on this one. The consultations with branches that refers to DBE branches, the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation and National Treasury started in June, from June to and up to October 29. And October 29, that's when the department submitted the draft or first draft APP for comments, for guidance from DPME, from National Treasury, Department of Women. Department has been guided also through this process in terms of the economic reconstruction and recovery plan, the ERRP. We know how much important that is in terms of providing job opportunities. The national annual strategic plan, the term is new, but the plan itself, what it entails, is not new. It's been extracted from the MTSF plans guide the budget reprioritization. So it's abbreviated as the NASP. It's a mechanism that improves the implementation of the MTSF within annual cycles, instead of assuming that new and emerging government priorities are an add-on. So I indicated already this is not new. There are four critical interventions for priority three that have been highlighted in the NASP or identified in the NASP. One being the expand access to preschooling and improve readiness. And the sector is already working on this. It's not new, but it was felt that at the cabinet meetings, this should be lifted in terms of the APPs. Two, accelerate the implementation of systemic evaluation, support teacher training for a three-stream model, and improve school infrastructure through a CD and SAFE. The sector is already implementing all the four critical interventions, but lift them and also prioritize those. So the HP has also included the district development model, which includes the catalytic projects like infrastructure. There's also school nutrition. There's also a presidential youth employment initiative, which is also very key in providing your jobs to youth. The department received the preliminary allocations in terms of the budget on the 29th of November, and feedback also was received back in December for the various departments as indicated, and the revised draft was submitted to Treasury on the 4th of February 2022. So that summarizes the process in terms of the consultation and the submissions of the 2022-23 APP. Then the next slide will be moving to the comments or the feedback that the department received from DPME. I can summarize, in the main focus is in terms ensuring alignment to the annual national annual strategic plan, which I just highlighted in the previous slide, and therefore there are four interventions there, which I already indicated. So we have indicators that are responding to all four areas, and also the situational analysis of the APP was strengthened to include damage information on the damage to schools and how learning losses were addressed for the 2021 metric plus, and also the other learners, not just focusing on metric. And also in terms of the data, the last one, the comment indicated the need to understand data sources which are produced by the state SA. So there is a 1 year time lag in terms of the general household survey data that comes from state SA. So hence the 2019 data was used because the 2020 data also delayed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. As we move to the next slide, we also received department comments from the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. Main focus here also is the disaggregation of the information by the beneficiaries, the women, youth and persons with disabilities. So the department has done some work, and the indicators have also been identified in the 2022-23 APP for disaggregation by these beneficiaries. I think in essence, that's what the Department of Women and Women, Youth and People for Persons with Disabilities focus on. And the Auditor General South Africa, AGSA findings, which is in the next slide, in summary, sent also feedback in terms of the sampling methods. So what the department did was to indicate clearly in the APP under the technical indicator description for each of these indicators how the sample is drawn. I think that summarizes also this slide. And this is taking us to the next slide on MTSF areas to be strengthened in provincial and national APP in terms of better accountability system for principals. I will talk to the bold areas. The work has started, political and technical work around this area, looking at accounting for performance in terms of learning outcomes. And the next one also in terms of teacher development, such as professional learning communities and technology enhanced service training, teacher development packages and spend is segregated by phase, subject, and district will have to also include some reflection on impact. The plans for the functions of the NICPD need to be clearly articulated in terms of progress. Then the department working with the provincial education departments has developed 20 standard output indicators for 2022-23 to ensure alignment, uniformity, accountability, comparability, and benchmarking, and track progress for sector priorities. So these are reflected in the provincial APPs. So the SOIs will be increased also to sufficiently cover the other key MTSF areas, such as the strengthened numeracy, reading, and ECD. And that takes us to the next two slides on feedback from Cabinet on, the DBE medium-term strategic framework report, which was presented end of January. Also, I will try to summarize. There are seven recommendations. First one being the ECD, the DBE has to work with the sister departments to develop a new vision. vision, which is aligned to the policy, the National Integrated Policy for CDE, and this should include funding. So work has started in this regard, and also since 2021, the DBE, working with DFD, has worked on the Second Children's Amendment Bill, which relates specifically to the ECD sections in the Children's Act. And in preparing for legislation, the DBE has partnered with the UNICEF in the process of reviewing all legislation, regulations, and policies that relate to ECD as part of the basic education system, while ensuring that it clarifies the roles and responsibility of the different players. During 2022-23, DBE will establish a technical task team that will review the same policy, the National Integrated City Policy, and that will ensure that it adequately reflects the ECD factor shift. So, and the other recommendation is that the DBE works with the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure in terms of infrastructure development, planning, and maintenance. So the DBE so far has established contacts with the said department. However, consultations will be informed by a meeting between the DBE Ministry and President, which is yet to be scheduled. The next slide also covers the five areas. One that talks to the determination of the count quantum of teachers and funding needed to meet the mandate. DBE will work with higher education on this one. And in response, the DBE will work with National Treasury to put together a content proposal. In terms of the connectivity of schools, which is number four, connecting all schools, device provisioning and monitoring of the same, including the role of private sector, the DBE has to work with the Department of Communications and Digital Technologies. We can indicate that the Cabinet has approved the rollout of the SA Connect in January, and the DCDT has proposed a meeting also with the DBE Director General to present the implementation plan of the SA Connect initiative. And also, important to note that a total of 18,520 schools will be connected as part of the Universal Services Application. So the same response is applying to the engagements or the discussions by the DBE, Department of Higher Education, and the relevant government departments to ensure agreements in the zero rating of educational websites. It's also covered in the it's also covered in the response that I've just presented. And DBE, working with DPME, should evaluate current reading and numeracy programs. A lot of work has been done in this regard. I can point out the EDUGRADE Numeracy Research Network that has been established, and there's also EDUGRADE Reading Studies project that evaluated the impact of three alternative programs, all aimed at improving home language literacy and reading outcomes. There's also ETRS2 that compared EDUGRADE Reading Studies 2 compared effects of on-site coaching to a virtual coaching program. So a lot of work is being done in this regard already. And lastly, DBE to commission a cost-effectiveness study working with DPME to understand which teacher development programs are cost-effective in increasing learning. Also, the department, through the National Institute for Curriculum and In terms of the threat plan, I won't go indicator by indicator. It's just to indicate mainly what the impact of the sector is, and to provide quality basic education for all, and lead the establishment and development of the South African schooling system for the 21st century. So all the outcomes, the ones that we have just slightly amended, that were presented, the outputs and the output indicators are all contributing towards this impact. And the following slide will be covering the strategic plan. Not much changes other than the amendments, the slight amendments on the DBE outcomes under the strategic plan. So I will not go indicator by indicator on the strategic plan. I will just ask you to move to rather the annual performance plan on the slide 55. The annual performance plan is still divided into four parts, being mandate A, B, strategic focus, C, measuring our performance, and D, technical indicator descriptions. And the DBE still has five programs, budget programs, and in the next slide we are looking at the program performance indicator after this slide. This is the distribution of the indicators. Firstly, the program on the first, on the second column. The last column is talking to indicators per branch. So the department is already indicated, has 70 indicators, 58 of which are annual targets, 10 are quarterly, 1 biannual, and 1 biennial, which means that one is measured every 2 years. And by branches, we can see administration, 4 indicators, business intelligence, 4 indicators, curriculum, 22 indicators, district, 22 indicators, branches, care and support, educational and enrichment, 6 indicators, branch T, teacher development, 9 indicators, branch I, infrastructure, 3 indicators. So that's the distribution in terms of our current APP. And the 2 indicators on this slide have been removed from the APP, which was there in 2022. First indicator on the legislation, the reason being that it has been achieved because the proclamations have been signed. And 315 on the filling of the polls, the indicator is now measured through the annual operational plan. It was part of the 2014-19 medium-term strategic framework, but it doesn't mean that it's not measured at all. New indicators, we'll talk to the 3 new indicators, new inclusions. First one is on a number of Schedule 4, 5, and 6 conditional grants, quarterly performance reports. It's key to have a follow-through on the performance of the conditional grants on a quarterly basis. So the reason why this indicator has been included. And the 5.1.1, the next indicator, on the second one, is new. It covers a broader scope in terms of the provision of nutritious meals rather than the previous one, which was just the number of schools monitored for the provision of nutritious meals. The new one, it also talks to the compliance and feeding requirements. So we'll get a detailed report on these aspects. And the third and the last one, 5.1.6, SASC, a number of professionals trained in SASCA programs. This was removed from the ATP previously in 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic, because it involves also gathering a number of learners together. Program one indicators, as indicated, that there is six of them. These are talking to the capacity of the state, mainly except for the 11.1.4, which is new on conditional grants. Also, I will not be going there one by one. The program two indicators, which are covering the core of the department and the sector in terms of the curriculum. You can see it talks to curriculum and the assessment for the statement steps. The second chance is the trick program, which is making a huge contribution in terms of the learners achieving their trick. Children or learners with profound intellectual disability using the learning program, it's important that we don't leave them out of the education programs. And the next one is not just the report, but covers the policy on screening, identification, assessment, and support, which is CS. There's quite a number of them on inclusive education. As we go into the next slide, the indicators that are talking to the early childhood development. With the function shift, we will still be looking at the new funding model. We'll be looking at the information system, that is the conduct the ECD census, which will inform the integration of ECD into EMIS. They will talk to the human resource development plan and other indicators also under curriculum to ensure that the NCS is implemented in the PEDs, and also we support the provinces in terms of the extra classes to increase the number of learners achieving bachelors, and schools monitored for implementing compulsory entrepreneurship. That's also covered under program two. The next indicator from 2.1.11 talks to the general education certificate, which is also medium-term strategic framework. 2.1.12, which is also very key, as much as it is a report, but it will be reflecting on the schools that are prepared to respectively implement and pilot the technical occupational stream. 2.1.13 is highlighted, but it talks to the piloting for coding and robotics. We don't have a target for the 2024, 2025 for this indicator to budgetary constraints. The next slide is still covering the curriculum in the number of areas of reading, the norms, the introduction of African languages, the early grade reading assessment, and then it talks to schools with multi-grade classes, they are monitored, and national reading plan, availability of readers. So these are all interventions that are monitored in terms of the of improving their reading. From 231 to 235, we're monitoring the utilization of ICT, and it's the webbook, which have proven to work very well even during the pandemic. The research showed that if learners do not go to school and don't use the webbook, that has an impact on their reading and also the activities. So the webbooks indicate us, as well as an indicator that monitors the textbooks on maths and English first additional language. So those are all curriculum indicators. We still have, I think, about two more slides. On this one, also, it's languages in which literacy grade 1 to 3 lesson plans have been developed, still also talking to literacy. And 2.3.7, special schools with access to electronic devices is one of those challenging indicators in terms of the budget, our budgetary constraints. The department has to rely on the partners to fund the provision of electronic devices, hence the low targets and also no targets in 2024-25. So these the next one is also talking to the distribution of ICT devices. And the 241 is talking to number of teachers trained on inclusion. The next slide, which is still program 2, should be the last one now on program 2. It's talking also to number of learners in public schools, public special schools, and also public special schools serving as resource centers, and establishment of focus schools, and which is also key in terms of those specialization schools. That takes us to the end of program 2 indicators. As we move to program 3 indicators, talk to school management, accountability, and also talk to teacher development. I think I won't be covering these one by one, especially if there were not much changes. We also cover the Funza Lushaka bursaries and the placement, which we already presented in one slide under progress, and also the young teachers entering the public service system as teachers, those aged 30 and below. We also track that is provision of employment also to the youth. I think pretty much summarize the program 3 indicators, and not forgetting the critical part, which is covering teacher development. Teacher Development Institute and Teacher Development Centers, as well as the indicator, as much as 3.2.2 is a report, but in implementation of teacher development programs by PEDs with special focus on language, maths, physical science, and accounting. I think we can move to the program 4 indicators now, as the first three are talking to infrastructure, the schools. We can see the targets are only in under 2022-23 financial year, no targets for 2023-24 and 2024-25. A city project will come to an end by March 2023, which is end of 2022-23 financial year. Program 4, we also cover the general education and training test items on language maths. State report presents, and the minister also presents when the NSC results are released. We also monitor those reports, the question papers, and most importantly also the South African School Administration and Management System, the SASM, for reporting, as well as the next one that talks to LURIT. We also have National Assessment Framework on 4-6. And we also measure early learning national assessment to determine the 431 and 436 indicators are all talking to the district in terms of
benchmarking in the NSC. They are mentored. They talk to the the satisfaction assessment, underperforming schools monitored by sector officials, district director forums held, and districts in which teacher development has been conducted as per improvement plans. And also those are the targets provided. And lastly, program 5, indicators. School nutrition, it's HIV and AIDS, which is a conditional grant, and it's school safety framework. It's important for our schools to be safe. Then there's also an indicator that talks to the participation of learners, educators, parents, SGPs, and other education stakeholders through social cohesion programs. And also districts implementing the program to end school-related gender-based violence. And lastly, number of professionals trained in such programs. Thank you, Chair.
Budget that we were given for the first year was 29,372,000 for the first year, 60,000,000 for the second year, and 31,000,000 for the outer year, and that's made up of the next two figures, which is the departmental baseline of 6,000,000 and then the conditional grants of 22,000,000. All those figures below the conditional grant up to HIV and AIDS, all those figures make up the 22,000,000 of conditional grants. Then below that we've got the baseline increases. We got 11,000,000 increases in the 2023 year, and then we also got a 20,000,000 increase over the entire period for women. Can you go to the next slide? And then we've got for foreign government and international relations, we've got 836 across the board, internal services 32,000,000 across the board. And we've got an ECD function entity that we're getting money for, because we will be then transferring to this entity. Not the only one, there's about three of them. Then we've got the presidential employment stimulus of 5,000,000 over the 2 years. And the other one is the second entity of ECD entity, South African Congress for Early Childhood Development, which gets 826, 829, and 866. And the last one is UHAMO Foundation, it's also about just over 2,000,000 over the 3 year period. Then we go to what we call baseline reductions, which is a total of 53,500,000. And it's broken down into departmental agencies and accounts, goods and services, as well as households, mainly food and shelter. And the figures are 3,000,000 for departmental entities, for agencies, 24,000,000 for food and services, and 26,000,000 for food shows the adjustment to conditional grants. And the total adjustment to conditional grants is 167 million for the first year and 325 million for the second year. And the breakdown is learners with profound, learners with profound to intellectual disability grant of 6 million for the first year, nothing for the outer years. 764 for the first year and nothing for the second and third year for ECD. Math, science and technology, 265 for the first year, nothing for the outer years. And EIT, education infrastructure, it's a big, it's the one with the big game. 154 million for the first year, 325 million. Shows the final budget per program because the slides that have shown the American Hope set, I don't know, showing the slide. If we can go back one or two slides, yeah, go back until I stop you. Yeah. So Chair, as I've mentioned, the initial indicated allocation, the top figure was 29.3 billion, 30 billion, and 31 billion. Now, all these figures that I've spoken to are showing how the 39 billion increases or decreases until we come to your final budget, which is that slide that I slide. This slide, Chair, shows the conditional grants, and then I'll also be going to the totals. If you, as you can see, the trend is followed, where the increases over the years are not material due to budget constraints. The first year is 23 million, then it goes up to 24.1 million, so which is an increase of just 1 billion, if I may put it simply. And then the next year still is 24.8 million, so which is an increase of less than 1 billion, which is about 740 million. So over the 3 years, the increase is from 23 billion to 24.8 billion, so it's just about 1.8 billion over the 3 years in terms of conditional grants. This one then talks to other transfers. This slide, this is divided into two slides. We couldn't get the information all into one slide, so that the net total is in the next slide. If you can go to the next slide, yes, the net total change 1.6 billion for the first year, 1.6 billion for the second year, and 1.7 billion for the third year, outer year. So basically, even on this one, it just goes to show that the increases are very tight. In the 3 year period, there's an increase of about 100 million, basically. Even less, slightly less. Thank you, Chair. That's the finance.
Thank you very much. We had very serious network connectivity with both speakers that were presenting, but I think members could pick up because actually the presentation was in front of ourselves. I'm going to note hands now from the members that that wants to participate in the presentation. But I must say first that Honorable Sukers has, I think, sent an apology. Now she has sent me questions that I should ask on her behalf to the department, and I am going to read as received. Honorable Sukers has a copy of the research agenda 2019/2023. Has this changed? And if it has changed, can you forward it, that is now the research agenda? And then, what percentage of this budget is allocated to the research? And how many staff are there in your research department? And how many research reports have they produced last year? And how many reports have they targeted to produce in 2022-23, and on what topics? And then in the Western Cape, learners have fallen up 70% of the school year behind previous cohort in language, and up to 106% of a year behind in mathematics. What is the situation in other provinces? What research is being done there? How much is allocated to catch up programs in this budget? What research do we have to prove these programs will work? I'll be trying many different programs on a pilot basis to see which ones are the best. Is tracking research built into the programs? And then says, Honorable Sugar says some specific questions related to the school dropout research that she will forward as written questions. So those are Honorable Sukar's questions as read. I am going to Honorable Murwatsehla and thereafter Honorable Notad. Thank you. And Siwela.
Mrula Stula, can I start?
Yes, you may. You may, Principal.
Thank you very much. In 3 years back, I say, Mrula Stula, re amogele, revere lebowe, appreciating the briefing by the department on this all important the important thing is that the department never of responding by way of availing themselves as and when they are supposed to appear before this very important portfolio committee. And the presentation on the plan itself tells us that we are starting somewhere and moving towards a particular goal. They would normally say they that fail to plan to fail. And I believe now that the planning has been presented, DBE, Minister, your deputy, and the officials, thank you very much for this gesture which you present. I've got two questions. Though the first one, it may have a subsidiary question attached to it. The first question, Chairperson, is that there is no way in which we can undermine and or write off the importance of mathematics, science, and technology in our system. And it's true that we have got challenges in both the uptake and also the performance of this stream in many of our schools, especially in rural areas. Given the attachment which I've just indicated that we can't divorce ourselves from the importance of this subject. What is equally important is that the uptake and the performance of the subject, as alluded to above, have to be taken into cognizance. We cannot lose sight of this subject. We have to closely monitor them. I'm saying so because, Jefferson, the subsidiary question related to the one above, though that was still the comment, is that the little research that I have made, and a very scientific research for that matter, shows I have done it in Mufani district, and then in Limpopo, whereby the district has been divided into two. We have got Mopani East and Mopani West. We have got the scores of schools which are closing shop in the offering of this subject. And when I are entering. If this situation, as I'm putting it, is not going to be closely monitored and to be remedied, the ultimate product, in a number of rural areas, we will find almost 90%, if not 100% of schools, which are based on math, science, and technology. And now my question will be, where are we taking this country to? Now the first question. The second one, this one is a standalone. It doesn't have kids attached to it. It's on the promotion of home language as medium of instruction in our school. Chairperson, this one must be arrested before it explodes in our faces. Because my understanding is anyone who undermines your language, actually, in principle, that person is either destroying or stealing your future or your identity. The language plays a very important role in our lives, such that he who undermines or try to do away with your own language is actually saying you are non-existent. There is an extract, which extract I want to quickly read, Chairperson. And this extract, relevant to what I am talking about, I think we'll be able to answer. You have to listen to it once more. He says, the only reason why you do not learn math, science, accounting, and economics in your African language is because the economy does not belong to you, and it doesn't speak your language. If you go to Germany, China, Japan, and the other countries, you will never find them teaching those subjects in English. They teach them in their own language. This is because they are the owners of their own economy. Africans are busy competing on who is able to speak English better than another. Other nations are busy translating school books into their own language so that their children have a learning advantage of using their own language. An African child reads a question paper in English. Think in African language and write or respond and spend most of their time translating to themselves that they need. Given this, Chairperson, I am a worried person. My question now will be, of course, attached to this, I want last week, when I was still suffering seriously from my eyes, I met an extract from the minister where she was also airing a view on our kids that they are performing so poorly and so bad in the comprehension work simply because they are being taught in foreign language. And I believe if the minister herself has spotted that, something surely must be done as of yesterday. Maybe the question I should raise to the deputy minister, the minister, and the DG is, how far are we in advancing this course of home language instruction? Thank you very much, Jefferson. I may come up and I may come back if the need arrives. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chair. And good morning to everybody. Am I audible, Chair?
Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much to Phoebe I just want to touch on a few things, Chair. And obviously, based on questions that I would like to ask, they might want to allocate to either the ACC, whatever program, which you might fit in, as well as the budget, which is not too much, but only 1 to 2. But I just want to touch on the first thing that I think, you know, won't dwell on it. So we know that there have been a lot of learning and teaching time. You know, particularly in rural schools where I come from, where they've lost over 70% of their learning and teaching time. And there's an indication that there will be a monitoring in terms of reading norms. And there's some form of intervention, particularly and language. So I wanted to check whether the sense of our plan and the topics that it set has taken into consideration for any extra intervention, particularly in rural and country schools. The reason why I ask the question is because we all know for instance that it has been well. And you know, probably and obviously the curriculum of catch up as much as it's trim there, the plan is taking place. There is a need for exact intervention, particularly what we would call the monitoring. In terms of our planning, our target and our budget, there could be a consideration for exact intervention in rural and county schools. And if we are particularly what are those or targets that have been set, and if not, you know, could we consider that in our plan with the extra and all sorts that rural
time to consider that type of plan. then again, under curriculum, there's a target to achieve higher levels of funding, which is all good, well supported. But my concern, and what I've observed, is high education and now education. There's a misalignment in terms of the past mark, or what is required to get a bachelor's mark, versus what we call the ACS. So, for them to access the particular university program. So whether you get a bachelor pass or the mindset of young people in the country that if I get a bachelor pass now, I'm going to access the university and go and study that I want to study. And I feel like this not just a feeling, but this is a good alignment. Is that if you, you know, to get certain points, for example, a bachelor pass, but to look at the minimum requirements that are set out to excellent, right? And what they mean with a bachelor pass, there seems to be a misalignment. So my question is, is there even a reason to align the pass mark with what we call access points to survive learning when you get a bachelor pass? So that when you set the pass to say you want more learning with a bachelor pass, we know it's a pathway that is set for them to be able to access the institutions of higher learning, not just to set the target, you know, there's a market of learning that they want in a bachelor path, but then the pathway is blocked because they can't access based on the disparities in the past mark versus the age. Then the last one in terms of curriculum. In terms of, in fact, it's not the last one, but the second last one. But related to improving mother tongue education and quality and teaching, there's a proposal that we have put in the table to say that the next possibility to make teacher work in 5 years, meaning that a proper teacher across the end of the dialogue will have a workbook, they will have teachers. But we'll explain the, you know, the we'll explain in quarter at the back. So the part of the plan is program two, and what the minister is saying is completely supportive of improving public education because we know the impact that it has in producing quality learning for the teacher. Consider putting those workbook in a bilingual manner when they actually acquire them. Then, in terms of Punjab charter, there is a target that is broken down, but I'm not going to go into detail. But also, when we did our oversight, and I think I've indicated this, there are provinces like the Northwest, the Northern States, that are facing to attract, for example, teachers. We also subject for the changing world in terms of robotics, coding, maritime, and I think there should be others that are added looking at what Finland and other countries are doing, even Kenya. In terms of Punda Bishaka, is there a particular block or way in which you allocate funds to these learners must go and study the mathematics? And then when they get to work, they don't change that particular way to teach mathematics, maybe that it's called, you know, the language is the foundation thing. And then you are able to monitor the exit and they actually acquire the skills that you require in the sector. So that you are able to build up what we call personnel to assist provinces like Northwest and Northern Cape who can't attract technical math teachers as a subject that is introduced and people are struggling with, that actually does not have a lot of specialist subject advisors. So is it possible to gaps, you know, also to where the improvement teachers are not required to write, for example, a test to become teachers, but they require a degree, unlike certain accounting that require the students, they have to test the degree to register in the field. Teachers are not required to do that. But is there a way that we can, using our education in general, to try and improve quality teaching, to have a school in the region, authority? The last one, Chair, is on infrastructure. I think we will be coming to an end, as you all know, and the President in the province mentioned the special purpose vehicle, and I think the little bit here, the little bit there, I don't know whether it has been considered yet by them, but I want to check whether, you know, the special purpose vehicle, has it, you know, has it been included, or the reason why it's not included in the specific framework, and is it going to operate the same way as the agent, and so on, and has it had a target on what type of appropriate infrastructure it needs to get rid of, and if so, is there a budget allocation to it, and I think that would be comfortable to the CFO. And the last one is on the issue of network access capacity, and basically device to Wi-Fi and so on. We know, for example, the school that you did in the minister, which I found there in 2014, those learners don't have access to network at all. That's just one example. I'm trying to illustrate that before you have done. And they have to go to a mountain to go and access the government, right? Even though they won't, teachers go there. And the network ends when they enter, and they have no network at all. As part of saying that we want to expand and monitor ICT and access to ICT, we consider that the spectrum now is being released from auction, and how would that affect schools that we intend to make sure that they've got access to ICT and network, and how can we benefit from that? How can we leverage from what is being done now in terms of the use of spectrum? Make sure that more schools access ICT. And you have said that the report that only 29% of the schools actually have access to ICT in network and internet. And obviously that comes from your own report. But is there a plan in place to ensure that there's more access and we have budgeted for that? And then my budgetary question, Chair, is just one, like I've indicated. We've seen that there's an increase the budget, a very slight one, and the way, you know, that there has been underspending, particularly for the services program too, which has affected the delivery of workbooks, is there a mitigation strategy that you intend to ensure that you put in place so that that doesn't happen again, and what consequences, you know, are going to put in place for those implementing agents that have not met their project objectives, and do we retain them? Are they blacklisted? How do we deal with them? And the last one on budget, with the allocation that has been put for the additional remuneration of educators, is that money going to be used for the increase of salary, or are we going to be dealing with the vacancies that exist, particularly for level one teachers? I think that's all, Chair, for my side. I know it's a mouthful, but I think the presentation has covered quite a lot. Oh, one thing I'm forgetting is that there's been an allocation of $3.7 billion for the Early Childhood Development Grant for the next 3 years. And the budget speech outlined that there's a 1.7% increase in funding for Early Childhood Development Center. Will that be able to cover what is required, considering that there's also the Bella Bill that seeks to make grade one compulsory? Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you,
Chairperson, for the opportunity, and let me also welcome the presentation. Chairperson, indeed, the presentation covered a lot of ground, and what then I would like to know with regard to the itself, are there issues that probably we will lead to the non-attainment of the said target that the department could be aware of on the onset. Secondly, Chair, what then I would also want to know is in what way is this APP presented here today responding to the governing party election manifesto? Lastly, Chair, in what way again is this APP contributing towards the attainment of the National Development Plan goals? Thank you, Chair.
As he disconnected, I think he is in the phone. The Honorable Adwan.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me also take this opportunity and appreciate the presentation on the ATP for of the department for 2022-2023 financial year. For this fourth industrial revolution that we talk about, what is the you know, plans for the department to improve on that, because it has been a challenge, and it was also, you know, also exposed the department that there's a lot that needs to be done with regard to connectivity, and that also to me is linked to school infrastructure. Whether we have schools that are able to provide, you know, such a services in schools. Secondly, I would like to check with the department if there's any financial support that is in place to assist
what actually do they do to track and I would do
really like to get that answer out of you, so that I know exactly what is being done about it. And considering that they are old bonds, talk about dropout and that are in school and so on. So we need to try and address that problem and see how do we get our community involved in ensuring that learners in school that actually something that is very, very close to the investment. So that's one thing I forgot to mention.
Okay. Thank you very much. I think from my side as well, I must just indicate that the presentation was a very good presentation. It was very precise and also very informative. There are two things from my side with the key deliverables for the ECD function shift, particularly on the mobile ECD, mobile ECD program to a library. Where we've been throughout the year. And then the issue of the school infrastructure, and I'm linking it with the fact that the president has mentioned it in the SONA last month. How are you planning to ensure that the key deliverables on the school infrastructure are achieved for the completion of the inappropriate schools, including the water and sanitation, which of course we know that this is the main challenge in the department. But I'm raising it because of also the president has spoken about it in the zone. And there is a slide in the performance presentation which have said that it's from the 1st of March that the workbooks have been delivered 100%, which is of course is welcomed, and I think we need to welcome that. But what is making why are we when we go on oversights in January and February we find schools that do not have 100% delivery on the workbooks, when we actually know that it's workbooks that we could have ordered, and we know that the schools are opening on a particular date, but it's continuous every year that the workbooks are not delivered 100% when we start the academic year every year, actually. And I think many members have raised the issue of the AAs that they are going to come to an end, their contracts and so on. The reality is that we are faced with serious unemployment rate in this country, and it's linked to the fact that economically we are not in a very good space, and young people of this country are unemployed. That is a fact. So as the department, as much as we have welcomed in all spaces where we were, the fact that managed to give employment opportunities to young people by considering to have EAs in the department. Now, what are other initiatives of creating employment as basic education that you have as the department? But also, I think it's an outcry, and many members raised that if there are possibilities of continuing with the employment of the EAs as the
sector, we would appreciate that you do that, because it's a difference. At least it is a it's a difference that it's making to our communities and to our people. So I think those are the issues from my side. I am going to allow the minister to lead the responses. Thank you very much, Minister.
No, thank you very much, Chair, and thanks for the opportunity to respond, but also thank members for engaging with us. We will share the questions. Some of the questions will be answered by different DDGs. The whole team is here, but also DM will respond, especially in areas where she's responsible. So I'll pick up a few, and as I say, leave the other questions for colleagues. The one that I really want to talk is about your MEDS performance, your uptake, and your success rate, which is indeed a concern. That's why on an ongoing basis, we have that MEDS fund to assist us in areas where we've identified problems. And not problem that we identified from some time back, schools that don't offer medicine science. We had a special problem identified from schools and providing teachers not only from our students, but also from our partners, supposed to happen. We're giving instructions to all provinces that all schools must teach medicine science, and if there is a difficulty with teaching, have always been able to assist them. But what I can also say, hey, which I think is good news, is that when we did also our research in the department, this year alerted me to work in the department, they call it Limpopo Surprise, that in all the provinces, Limpopo produces the best results, especially amongst the disadvantaged communities, mainly drawn from that Bembe area where we get 100% meds, huge uptakes of meds. And even if you go to different universities, you'll find that the majority of African children in those universities doing your gateway subjects will be young people coming from Limpopo. So Limpopo has a very good success rate around medicine science, and that's why it's important for us to identify if there are areas that we still need to attend to. It's followed by KZN, because when Minister Mkuno did an MEC as the province to take the decision that they want 50% uptake and started working with the University of KZN. And it is yielding results. It's not perfect what perhaps we want, but it is yielding results. The next province that is doing quite well, relatively well, is the Eastern Cape. So I'm saying there are challenges, but we're also attending to them. And then in terms of curriculums, I'll ask the team led by DG to really lead about recovery, what are the plans we have put in place to make sure that we do recovery programs, and it's an elaborate plan, because we're quite aware that we had huge losses. We were the first people to say the COVID has really affected us or hampered us quite seriously in the work that we do, and that's why we were insisting, or we were concerned all the time with the rotational system that we're really, most of the work that we started was eroding. So we will also give some information as to what is it that we put in place to recover lost ground in terms of learning and teaching. But also want to say here with respect that we are a national department. We work with all provinces as a responsible national department, so that we shouldn't get a situation where we really have a situation to say, which unfortunately the honorable member from the DA always talks about DA. Kids in the Western Cape are South African kids, as smart as kids in Gauteng and everywhere are South African kids. So when we make policies, we don't make only policies for where the governing body is governing, but for everybody else. So that maybe the problem of the Western Cape, whether they even call themselves ministers, is a problem. We're working nationally, we learn from each other, we meet regularly, and make sure that we support each other as a sector. And can assure the member that we even, in terms of our monitoring, know where good practices are taking place in different parts of the country and share them amongst ourselves. We find that perhaps Western Cape is excelling this area. We share experiences. Eastern Cape is leading on language policy. We're sharing those experiences. So that I think we should disabuse ourselves of being the DA, as if DA is the trendset. It's not. We work in the sector.
Process.
But Member Dunes also raised asked if we have money to pay for SGB posts. It's definitely no, because schools are allocated posts according to a formula, which is an equitable formula across the system. So you can't give all schools to say for 40 learners you get a teacher, for different languages you get a teacher, and you go to a school that chooses to either add to reduce their class size, because that's what most SGB posts are for, or to add on lots of a different number of sporting codes, and come to government and say please subsidize. You can't, because what you say to the others that have stuck or that have planned along the allocated post, so there wouldn't be any subsidy. It would be very unfair to subsidize in terms of SGB posts. So if SGBs have chosen to have an extra post, we should be doing this. The other thing about workbooks, maybe the chair will clarify. What I know, and colleagues will confirm, workbooks have been efficiently delivered, chair. The workbooks come, actually they are delivered even a term before. So when we are in term one, we know that we know when the workbooks of term two are going to come. So we don't deliver them all stocks at the same time because of storage challenges. But the challenge, the problem that we normally experience is around textbooks and your stationery. And textbooks, provinces, to be fair to them, textbooks have a lifespan of 3 years. And if schools don't receive adequately, then the province is unable to give the money to make sure that they want every child as a textbook. So it's a problem of retrieval by schools, but it's also a problem of communities not returning books because the budget is in a 3-year cycle. What would have happened this year in particular in the Eastern Cape was a delay in the delivery of stationery. And it was a budgetary problem, and the provincial government with its financial department has been working on it. On learner admissions, again, Chair, we're getting reports, and DDG Gales here, I hope to clarify, but what we will do, we will interact with our provincial counterparts in the Western Cape. There are counterparts in the Western Cape, and see where the challenges are, and see how we can work together. Because children in the Western Cape are additional children, and we have an equal interest in them. And I think it's unfortunate if by this time we have not been able to place them. So I will engage with the MEC, not minister, with the MEC of the Western Cape, and see how we can work together to resolve the problem. Thank you very much, Chair. So thank. Let me stop this, and then colleagues will answer other questions. Thank you, Chair.
Minister, is DM coming in or should we come in now?
I don't know, DM, maybe we'll accept then so that officials can get to the show.
Okay, Minister, I'll proceed and then colleagues will fill in. Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Honorable Minister and Deputy Minister, the question about a copy of the research agenda, whether there's any new research agenda, we take a while before we replenish the research agenda. The Chief Director for Strategic Planning, Research and Monitoring in the meeting, Mrs. Carol Nuga Deliwe, can just bring the meeting up to speed about that. About the budget and the staff, she can also just share some information there. But what is important is that the bulk of the research we carried out with HEI, with other institutions that do research in our work. So it's very rare that we do research on our own, but Ms. Nuka Deliwe can shed some light around that in terms of the budget stuff and so on. So the budget would be wouldn't be that much given the fact that we rely on others to do this work to together with us or on our behalf. The fact that learners have fallen behind, the GET team in particular went out towards the end of last year to do what we call a dipstick of curriculum coverage, to juxtapose that with the work that was done by in the NIPSCREM data, which involved Dr. Nick Spall and others who talked about the gap that has been created as a result of COVID-19. And we can share that work with the portfolio committee. And the gap that is indicated where people went out to classrooms. And in addition to that, the NECT also went out to look at the work that was done in the workgroups, which is much more reliable than the projections that people are making. Because workbooks are used for learners to be able to do work, and the NECT used workbooks as a means to verify the amount of work that was done at different grades. Let me also just confirm what the minister responded to around the delivery of workbooks. I suspect that there is a confusion, the same way as the minister observed. Honorable members who have been serving in the committee even for many, many years, they know we've been able to prove you are on an oversight visit, you are at a school, you just send us a WhatsApp message and say, this school says they've not received workbooks, or this school says they have workbook shortage. It's an electronic system. We check on the spot. We check the date when the workbooks were delivered, who received them. The problem more often than not is that you'd find that sometimes the person who's responding to questions is not the person who might have received the workbooks. We've come across instances where some workbooks were even received and even stored somewhere in the school and were not even shared. We have gone out to monitor workbooks, and workbooks has got a very reliable electronic system. They are independently audited by an audit firm that goes out to look at, the coverage of the workbooks. So it's a strictly monitored system, and the figures that we provide, even in the annual report, are figures that are audited by an independent audit firm to check the delivery and the coverage of workbooks. And then the issue about allocation for the catch-up program, I wouldn't know quite honestly. This is done by provinces. I don't even think that they've got a specific amount that says this is a catch-up program. We've worked with provinces, and they have worked out catch-up programs within the allocated resources that are available to them. There's nothing extra that came from anywhere, whether it be equitable share or from the national allocation. Nothing. I mean, would have seen even from the budget, there is nothing that is dedicated for that. So we need to, we have to work within the available budget to make sure that those catch-up programs that are developed together with schools, districts, and provinces are implemented. Minister covered quite extensively the issue of methods and technology. Honorable Minister, I really want to say that we must remember that we now have three forms of mathematics. We have pure mathematics, as it's colloquially known. You also have mathematical literacy, you've got technical maths. I think the key issue is a proportional distribution of the offering by learners in this three. And the third important task, which is a national task that maybe all of us need to engage in, Minister, is to get more and more learners offering technical subjects, your technology subjects. The offering is extremely low. And the reason for that is not necessarily attributable to the three reasons that Honorable Murat Seta gave. Either the perennial underperformance. And by the way, this subject saw a phenomenal improvement for the first time in grade 12 in 2021. Phenomenal improvement, which has never been observed before. So there is improvement. In fact, the subject, some of the subjects that you're concerned about are BCM subjects, which is accounting, business studies, and economics. And we are keeping our watch on that. And how do we deal with this to address these weaknesses? We meet with provinces every year in what is called engagements with provinces. Individually, we present to them on their performance. And we do have plans in terms of targets, particularly for mathematics. And we're talking about it a while ago to say we have to ensure that provinces are aligning their performance to the plans that we have developed and targets developed for each one of them. But I've also indicated elsewhere that the Maths Foundation is of the view that our offering and performance of mathematics is not inconsistent with our history of performance. Mr. Engelbrecht used to lead the Maths Foundation of South Africa. I'm not sure whether he is still leading that foundation. But what is important, which is what Honorable Suella raised as well, we are also linking our performance to targets as determined by the NDP. Targets, as indicated in priorities of even the CEM priorities of government, the MTSF strategic framework. We follow that, our performance will link it to that. When we even report, we even link our performance to the 6 sustainable development goals and measure our performance against that. The issue of I've indicated that part of the performance that is not in keeping with our expectation in terms of success rate, the participation rate is increasing. If you check last year's numbers in grade 12 and compare them, I think they are close to 2018-2017, which is probably the highest that we've had in the enrollment in grade 12. But the minister is right. The Limpopo surprise, we're talking about learners who get 60% and above, who are learners who follow careers in mathematics, who become pilots, who become even engineers. The minister is right. You go to many of the universities in South Africa, you'll see where those learners come from. And it's part of what we're learning, despite the fact that Limpopo didn't do well. But in those areas, the Limpopo performs very well. The minister has addressed the issue of the mother tongue or home language. The point that I want to emphasize, it is indeed true, knowledge and skills are not married or intimately attached to any language, but rather attached to a home language. And the example of the Eastern Cape that the minister gave, which we are following, which we want to replicate in the other 9 provinces, Honorable Murat said that it's a matter that we want to pursue. And then Honorable Nodada, extra intervention. Well, I've been monitoring learner support programs in provinces. I've been to 4 so far during Saturdays. This coming vacation, I'll be covering the other 5 provinces. What I can tell you is that there is extra intervention. What really shocked me, particularly in the Free State, is that even primary schools go to extra tuition during weekends, sometimes on Saturday, sometimes on Sunday. I accepted, I was in there, by the way, we started in Eastern Cape, we went to KZN, and we went to Free State, and this past Saturday we went to Northwest. And what we found is that there's extra interventions and tuition in high school start from grade 8, 9, 10, and 11. That was quite humbling in terms of our observation. I was pleasantly surprised. And we are still going to monitor in other 5 provinces to check what they are doing there. And we even have plans that they presented to us, which we can share with you. Very comprehensive plans. If followed, those plans should really give us what we're looking for. Systemic test, yes, it's from policy development. It started from DBE, what the Western Cape is implementing came from DBE. But honorable members will be happy to learn that our field workers are out for a systemic evaluation that we are implementing, which we've been delaying, and at the fullness of time, we'll come and give you that report. It replaces the annual national assessment, ANA, which was discontinued in 2015, and the field workers are out and we're interacting with Dr. Polia, the service provider, the districts and the provinces. We have some linkage in the Northern Cape because of the impact there between one union and the department. So we're looking at that, and also in the Eastern Cape, but we are addressing that. So this is the first year. This one, we are implementing this, and we'll be implementing it throughout. And as I've said, we'll be more than willing to bring the results of that to the committee. So it's a national evaluation, now national, as compared to the provincial that the Western Cape has been doing. Learners with special education needs, we can only determine from the equitable share whether there's an increase or not. This is usually allocated from individual provinces. With us, it's just the allocation for policy development, monitoring and support. Other than that, LSPID, which is demonstrated a small growth of I think between 15 and 50 million, if I'm not mistaken. Misalignment between the points that are required for universities in 8 years and past requirements for bachelors. Well, the minister appointed the ministerial task in 2015 to look at the national senior team. In the report of that ministerial task team, this didn't come up, of the misalignment. The reason is that faculties set their own requirements, but of course the requirements of the bachelors are for the learner to pursue any study at university level. And our requirements don't necessarily have to be linked to faculties, because learners might choose to pursue studies in any faculty. And in our view, that is sufficient. But when they are advised that if you want to pursue studies in this faculty, these are the requirements, which are requirements that are above just the requirements of a bachelor, which gives you entry at university to pursue studies of your choice. And then
that's for your which degree?
There is an ongoing engagement between us and DHET, including meetings that we have with the head of faculties of education, which are structured regular meetings that are taking place. I do meet with universities as well periodically. We're supposed to be meeting twice a year. I haven't been able to convene those meetings twice a year, and I was talking to the team that it's about time that we do that. And maybe I must also address the issue of teacher education, ensuring that we have enough teachers for technical subjects. Honorable note that there are very few universities that are specializing in technical education. Oxford University is one of them, and we have been addressing this with the head of faculty of education, given the fact that we want to increase the offering of the subject. So your advice is indeed spot on. We will pursue it. Mr. Faraki will yes, through Funza Lushaka, Mr. Faraki will just make some input in that respect. I must be honest, I didn't get the question properly. And I'm sure Mr. Faraki will help me to get that one. And then the issue of infrastructure, special people. Meeting with Dr. Ramaphosa's team, which is a team that works with the Department of Public Works, located in the presidency, to understand better from what we understood from our minister, the issue of the special purpose vehicle. My humble request is that we try to hammer out a common understanding between ourselves and the Department of National Treasury. So that we implement the pronouncement made by the president. Network connectivity, the minister attended the function yesterday at Vodacom about virtual classrooms. The issuing of the spectrum, which is still going on, by the way, up to even yesterday, telcos were bidding for spectrum. So that process of issuing the spectrum has been issued by government, but telcos are still bidding. The CEO of Vodacom, the fact that he couldn't attend the function with the minister, he was busy with that, and I'm told that they are continuing. And what is happening is that this is going to be used by government to force the network operators to roll out connectivity in schools. They have started, but at a very small scale. Tremendous progress has been made in special schools in terms of connectivity. As the minister said, the next group has to be small schools that offer multi-grade teaching, which will be covered, and then after that it will be quintile 1 to 3, and quintile 4 and 5 would come after that. In fact, many of them have initiated connectivity in their schools. So this is part of what government curriculum measures to assess learners. Systemic evaluation is one of them, apart from other measures that we use in the system. The issue of connectivity, I've addressed that. Learners that are not yet admitted, we are working with the Western Cape. We have admitted them to experience tuition. And continue to work with them and give you feedback. It would be appreciated if we could get details even of those learners that are saying they are still not placed, which we've been able to do in Gauteng. Honorable Chair, function shift stolen. Yeah, we'll address that. But my understanding is that we're taking ECD essentially food stored. We're not changing anything. We've got a new model for delivery that we are working on, which I start considering in 2023-2024. But for 2022-2023, it's ECD food stored. Keep what we received from. As well as the sanitation needs, which were part of the SAFE program, which was launched by the President in 2018, we will be completing that in 2022-2023. And it's for that reason that even the HDP saying beyond that will have nothing. Anything new, then we'll start looking at that and look at whether there are funds to deal with that. But the intention of National Treasury is to actually take money from a city and incorporate it into EIT. Although the minister indicated that her intention is to repurpose a city for things such as storm damaged schools, schools with asbestos roofs, schools whose maintenance has deteriorated to the extent that they are falling apart, and the province doesn't seem to have the muscle to deal with that. That's what the minister said, and we are talking with colleagues from Treasury and even Dr. Mokopa's team to look at that, also within the context of the special purpose vehicle. Okay, Chair, we've spoken about workbooks. Employment initiatives, I think you're absolutely right. Apart from the PYEI, which Mr. Padayaki will also give some information on, we've also made some short-term employment opportunities through infrastructure we called Youth in the Built Environment, YDE. Youth in the built environment. We've been able to create lots of opportunities there, Mr. Van der Westhuizen, as the head of infrastructure. DM, as chairing our weekly meetings, can also attest to that. But we also have internships short term. But apart from that, Minister, we've been able to attract many young people into the teaching profession, and we have seen many of them even participating in our incentive scheme of the NTA, which shows that the profession is in good hands. Those are some of the initiatives that we've created for dealing with challenges of unemployment. Okay, Minister, that's my contribution. I'm going to ask, maybe we must follow Ms. Gaya must follow Mr. Padayaki, and then I haven't heard anything from Dr. Whittle, and maybe Ms. Luka Deliwa around research, and then perhaps Mr. Kuno could come in around issues of the budget. That's the input that I'm able to make, Honorable Minister, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Ms. Gaya?
Thank Thank you, DG, and good afternoon to all honorable members. DG, I think you have covered the questions very well, and maybe the only addition that I could add is to explain about the ECD aspects of things. Yes, it is true that when we take over the function, we will be taking over this function footstool. And so in the first year, we will do a proper analysis and look towards how we introduce the improvements. We are in the discussion currently with the treasury, and we would have to continue in the financial year with those discussions of exactly how we are going to unfold this improvement. And we would want to introduce the improvements that extend beyond just a model of ECD. We would like to do more than that. We need to accommodate for those that are in healthcare as well as those who are in playgroups, and we'd have to provide resources, and we'd have to look at how we cost and bring about those improvements like that. So I think that is the additions that I could add in terms of ECD. Thank you very much.
Thank you, DG. Good day to the honorable members, Chairperson. The Funza Lushaka, indeed, the honorable member is correct that in the past, there were the young students would change their subjects that or courses that they did choose. But as a department, we have ensured that we've worked with the HAIs to ensure that this is not done without approval. And there are consequences for those changes, including some of the young people being offloaded in that regard. Otherwise, the specialization or the prioritization of the graduates we'd like, we would not be able to achieve. And since the early days of the Funza, where we had commenced with mathematics and science, it's grown to cover across all the phases, not just the FET. And just to indicate some of the specializations, which also now include inclusive education as well as the skills for changing work, in that there's Braille and the South African school language, South African sign language also included in the various phases, including technology in the senior phase and the intermediate. And in the FET, we're looking at, in addition to the generic mathematics and science, there's also now inclusion of technical maths and technical science, as well as technology subjects like agriculture, electrical and mechanical and civil that are now part of it. Now, the issue related to recruitment in provinces like Northern Cape and Northwest, in general, it's related to recruitment to rural schools, and in particular, provinces which have predominantly rural schools, as well as not limited to these provinces alone. For example, in the Northern Cape, we found the instances where once young people have finished their grade 12, they leave to go out of the rural towns to go and study in the cities, and they don't come back. In fact, we found difficulty in the PYEI to recruit any young person within that age group as well. So we have had a situation such as the rural incentives, which is now being terminated due to budgetary constraints. But we've also introduced what we call district-based recruitment. That means within that particular district where the school falls, we've tried to recruit the young person to study, and when they've graduated, they come back in terms of the subject specializations that we identified. So I think that's in terms of the FUNZA, but it's an issue that we are monitoring in order to try to address. But the debate between the rural versus urban is that the urban areas have other attractions for the young people. In terms of the BEI, the minister has covered that while we terminate phase 2 on the 31st of March, we will continue from April to the end of August in terms of the money that has been allocated for what's referred to as phase 3. And the Minister of Finance, in terms of the budget, is also included that in 2023-2024, there will be another allocation, and what we're calling it now is phase 4 that will come up in the 2023 academic year. Also worth noting is that many of our youth, not the majority as such, were initially part of our cohort in phase 1, and we've also noticed that now in phase 2 as well, when we commenced the academic year, have since found employment elsewhere,
Some have registered for further studies, and others have found other opportunities elsewhere. So while it's not the priority, but we do look at making options available for exit pathways, and we are working with the other, through the presidency, the other programs in the Presidential Youth Employment Initiative. Thank you, Chairperson.
So the transfers, the money we are getting is what we have ordinarily gone to
the DST department, but what we are showing in our slides is only the debt budget which comes to the national department. And at provincial level, there are budgets that are moving from a provincial DST department to a provincial education department, which would be in addition to the budgets that we are showing. The last item that the last question that came up was whether we do have a budget for gender-based violence. Chair, we have a directorate that deals with employee wellness, and they deal with all those issues, including issues of gender-based violence. They give support to officials. In some cases, they even go as far as giving support to families of officials if there's a need. So we do have a budget that deals with all the issues, if one may call it that way, or all the challenges, you know, for lack of better way. Thanks, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Minister. I'm not sure whether GM will come in. Over to you, Minister.
No, thanks, DG. DM, yeah, it says she can make a few comments, then, yeah. DM? Oh, okay, I think in the absence of DM not making the final statement, Chair, I also wanted, I think, to share the good news, because different speakers did relate to the matter of mother tongue instruction and say a very exciting development is taking place in the East, led by the Eastern Cape. They had run a pilot since 2010 on mother tongue instruction, and I think it will be quite good at some stage, maybe when you monitor provinces, also get an opportunity to get from them what has been done in partnership with universities in this area, both national and international universities, publishers, PENSLAB. And I think for me it presents a real hope for the future of our country in education, especially on reading, because indeed if learners learn to read, or even learn to learn in their languages, the chances are much higher for performance, as the research has proven, that the learners who studied in Xhosa from grade 4 were far much developed cognitively as compared to other learners who learned in a different language. But I think it's a matter for another debate. I thought I could just share that, because for me it's a very exciting development for the country and the future of our education. But Chair, thank you very much again. I don't think I want to add anything more than that.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Minister, and your team from the department. I see that at the end of Honorable Bruno Dada.
Yes, Chair. Am I audible, Chair?
Yeah.
Yes. No, thank you so much for the responses that were given by the DG. I just have one, like two follow-ups, Chair, on the DG. He did mention that they would meet with Dr. Ramkhoba from Public Works to get an understanding of the special purpose thing. So I wanted to check whether this would be included in this APP that they are presenting in the budget, or is that just going to be an ongoing discussion and then would be presented in the next day? And I think the minister makes it quite right that this work with mother tongue education, and we must support that, you know, and not criticize it. I hope that she will also be able to make some other suggestions, other problems of that work. And then the last one is on the issue of a report as to which areas are actually being prioritized to develop this. I think we'd appreciate it, so that to see that Northern Cape is not with end, we try and look at how we get the data of the sources of those things.
Right, Chair.
you get the first question? Did you?
I think I did. Let me try and respond.